This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network. The good that some men and women do can live on for generations after them. It's their legacy, and perhaps in a broader sense, it's the sum total of the efforts of their life. And the question is the world a better place because he or she was here? Well, the answer is obvious. But today, I want to tell you the story of a man who lived more than 800 years ago, and today in this 21st century, the fruits of his life are as visible and pertinent as they were those many centuries ago. And unfortunately, the short time we have together today does not allow me to mention everything he accomplished, all he did, and how the world is a better place because he put God first in every facet of his life. So please forgive me if I leave out a story or two or more. He did so much, experienced so many wonders and favors from above, and the old clock on the wall is just too unforgiving. Our story actually begins in the year 1170, when a baby was born in the Spanish area of Castile to Felix Guzman and his wife Joan of Iza. He was a blessing that arrived later in their lives, after their other children had grown and left the family home, including two boys who became priests. The Guzmans were thrilled with the prospect of a new child filling the void left by his brothers and sisters. This was a family who were devout in their faith and practiced the everyday virtues that were taught by the church. In fact, the mother whom we know as Joan of Iza has been declared blessed, but that's another story for another time. At any rate, the new baby boy was the answer to a prayer. The mother had offered many prayers to Saint Dominic of Silos, and upon the new baby's arrival, felt that in Thanksgiving they would name the new baby Dominic in his honor. And besides, the origin of the word Dominus means of the Lord, and so the baby would be called Dominic. There was also another reason why the mother liked the chosen name. It seems that before the baby was born, she had a dream that was very vivid and real. The memory of that dream lingered in her mind. The dream was of a dog carrying a large torch in its mouth, and as the dog ran, the light from that torch seemed to illuminate everything around it in its brightness that appeared to her to be almost supernatural. This was not just an idle thought or dream. Holy Scripture has references to the barking of a dog, referring to the actual preaching of God's words, and the result of these actions were saving the lambs from the fires of hell and protecting them with the light of the word. And so the baby was named Dominic. Young Dominic saw firsthand the devotions of his parents in practicing their faith. They were examples of goodness in actions, and as we know, little boys play the way men live. And consequently, at a very young age, he started to practice his faith as he was taught and as he saw it in action in his own home. One night, as his father prepared to tuck him in for the evening, he found the child with his blanket on the floor. And when his father suggested he crawl onto his bed, young Dominic resisted, because he wanted to make an offering to Almighty God, and since he had no money to give, this sacrifice would have to do. So he slept on the floor. As his early years were passing, his parents recognized his latent abilities and felt that his future would be better served if he went away to school. And since no good formal education was available near home, they would send him to a school run by Jane's brother, who was a priest. Dominic's first request was to learn Latin, because his love of God, which started at home, made him desire nothing but becoming a priest. He was a hard worker who was dedicated to his studies, and his brilliance, balanced with his kindness, made him a popular student. He would spend the next 7 years at school until his uncle felt he was ready for higher education. At the uncle's encouragement, Dominic would enter the University of Palencia, one of the best in all of Spain. To reach there, he and his uncle would have to walk. Well, in those days, people without means would have to walk even over great distances. At Palencia, he learned the basic sciences, with an emphasis on language and logic, so that one day he would be able to effectively communicate with everyone in a way they would understand. And the university had many books, and this was very important. We must remember that during that time period of history, books were like gold. They had no paper as we know it, and the printing press had not yet been invented. So the words and books were lettered by hand, and the pages were made by treated skins of lambs and goats. Books were definitely like gold. Dominic asked for permission once and painstakingly copied two books, the Epistles of St. Paul and another book on monastic life. They were his pride and joy. But times were bad. The Moors had invaded Spain, plundering and taking prisoners. Starvation was rampant, and poor families were starving. So Dominic sold his books and gave the money to the poor so they could buy food for their families. It was a terrible time for turmoil in families, with much suffering and heartbreak. One mother was distraught because her son had been taken as a slave. Well, Dominic offered to exchange places with the son, using the rationale that this would give him the opportunity to teach his captors about Jesus and help save their souls. Well, gratefully, the woman said she could not accept his beautiful offer. But the next 6 years passed quickly at Palencia. Dominic was now focusing on philosophy and theology on his journey to the priesthood. Impressed with his work and enthusiasm, the local bishop invited him to become part of his diocese, and he was finally ordained at the age of 25 in the year 1195, and he became an example for the other priests and seminarians. In 1203, his friend Diego became bishop after the death of the previous bishop, and one day sent for Dominic, telling him of his desire for Dominic to accompany him on a royal type of visit, where there would be a grand occasion calling for fine clothing, grand manners, and really all the royal trappings. Well, the big day arrived, and the delegation from Spain left on their journey in fancy dress, including Bishop Diego and Dominic. Dominic was less than pleased with his fancy dress, but it did remind him of an earlier childhood dream to go off to battle as a brave knight of a just cause. Well, one night, as Bishop and Dominic reached their destination, the Bishop and Dominic elected, both beautifully attired, I should say, elected to stay in a small inn rather than in the luxury of a nearby palace. They were somewhat surprised at the surly and unfriendly greeting from the proprietor of the inn. The bishop went to his small room, but Dominic elected to wait so he could have a talk with the inn's owner. Why was the innkeeper so hostile and unfriendly, he wondered. Very simply, this was the period of the Albigensian heresy. And what was that? Well, the Albigensian doctrine was heavily anti-Catholic, anti-clergy, and their doctrine was based on the assumption that all matter was evil. The body itself was evil. The incarnation was denied, and both the Old and New Testaments were rejected. The Albigenses were radical and strong, and the owner of the inn was a follower of the heresy. That's why he was so rude to Dominic and the bishop. He didn't like them. Well, Dominic understood this and spent the entire night debating the subject with a hostile innkeeper, using all the techniques of logic at his disposal. They argued the subject until daybreak. Even then, the innkeeper argued and argued, but finally he relented and returned to the faith and even confessed his sins to Dominic. The innkeeper also mentioned in their conversations that the Albigenses themselves had their own priests, their own bishops, and even Pope, and all shared the belief that, well, for example, murder and suicide were accepted, plus they didn't believe in heaven or hell. Dominic and Bishop Diego continued on foot toward their destination and then were headed for Rome, which took many, many days, and finally they met with the Pope, Pope Innocent III, where Bishop Diego requested permission to resign as bishop, and he and Dominic would then serve as missionary priests. Well, the Pope refused their request, citing his belief that they should return to their diocese and join in the battle against the Albigensian heresy and help return the members to the fold. Dominic and the bishop reached the monastery at Citeaux, where they rested a bit and where they loved the prayerful peace and tranquility of the monastery. The prior of the monastery was discouraged over his lack of success in stopping the heresies and voiced his concerns. Then a thought struck Dominic. To cover the wide areas, the clergy rode on horseback and had nice religious garbs. Perhaps, he mused, they would be better received if they arrived on foot, wearing simple and poor clothing, while at the same time begging for alms and sleeping wherever they could find shelter. This would be the image of someone sacrificing all to serve God. Dominic became very excited over his thoughts and immediately sought his bishop's permission to follow this path. And when the bishop agreed, Dominic said he would continue by foot, walking barefoot as he went, as a servant to all men, and he would be known simply as Brother Dominic. And so in the year of 1204, he would start his journey as a servant of God, and his accomplishments would last until the end of time. He would travel from town to town, village to village, preaching the word of God. People listened, men and women, many were converted, many simply laughed, most shouted insults, which he would ignore as a small price to pay, never returning their insults and always treating them as friends, with perhaps a tender smile. Through it all, the people had to admire his fervor and tenacity, whether they agreed with him or not. But he often had bad moments, too. He would be attacked and threatened with death, but would answer that his attackers were doing him a great favor in allowing him to die for the God he loved, while always looking kindly at his attackers. They always backed down and let him continue on his way with a strange kind of newfound respect for the poorly dressed priest walking barefoot through the woods. Word of this man Dominic and the successes he was having reached the heads of the Albigensian leaders, and plots were hatched to dispose of this holy man's successes. Everywhere he went, they would have other Albigensians there to counter his claims. Even these failed to slow his ardor and determination. He would forge ahead barefooted, in poor clothes, begging for food, and preaching the word of God. Members of the heresy were becoming desperate, but they had a plan. At the time, there was a strange way of determining the truth, and it was by fire. They would build a huge fire and the offender thrown in. If he was burned, well, then it was considered he was guilty. Dominic was carrying books outlining the faith, and this would be their chance. So a huge fire was started. The people gathered around, and Dominic's religious books were tossed in the raging flames. Only they didn't burn. The wind lifted one book and carried it away from the flames. The other lay in the center of the roaring fire and remained unscorched. The heretics were seeing a miracle with their own eyes and yet finding it difficult to admit that Dominic must be right and his God was more powerful than theirs. He entered the church, a church that was nearby, and prayed a prayer of thanksgiving, talking to Jesus as his friend until late in the evening when, as usual, he lay down on the floor to sleep. But sleep seemed to evade his rest, and again, when he was fully awake in a dawn's new day, the budding blooms of his life's mission started to blossom in an ever-blooming garden for God. After completing his morning prayers, he turned to leave the church when he was met by 9 ladies who had heard him preach and were so moved that they all wished to lead holy lives in the service of God and live only for him. As they sat in the church, what appeared to be an ugly and terrifying beast appeared coming down the aisle. The women were frozen with fear, but Dominic again prayed for help from God, and the beast disappeared. He told them that God had saved them from the beast and the heresy. He told the women that he would pray to the Holy Virgin for the answers they sought for their lives. The women's lifestyle was radical because they'd all been living together, teaching the children the Albigensian theology. Dominic knew there had to be others longing for the same truths that the ladies had just discovered through Dominic's efforts. Now, a new thought was etched in his mind. If only I could find a convent for them. This played on his mind, and he decided to stay in the area for a while and pray for a solution. And then, one evening, he was startled to see a strange light appearing in the heavens. For the knowledge of astronomy, he knew there was something special about the light. It descended until it came to rest over St. Mary's Church in the village. Even though it was night, the light brightly illuminated the church. I'm sure he thought there must be a message there somewhere. This was July the 22nd, the feast of St. Mary Magdalene in the year 1206. The following night, Dominic climbed the hill again and sought the intercession of the Virgin Mary. And again, that strange light shone on the little church of St. Mary's. This time, he followed the light and went into the church. It was in ruins. It needed repairs. But it was his answer. Mary wanted it for a convent. It had a purpose, and the bright light pointed it out for a reason. Since the church was in the diocese of the Bishop of Toulouse, Dominic paid him a visit, asking for the church as a convent. Like an answer to a prayer, the bishop wanted St. Mary's restored and used. He saw the need and not only gave Dominic the church, but the ground around it. Although he didn't know it at the time, this was to be the beginning of something great and very beautiful. It was made livable, and the ladies took up residence with Dominic as the prior, who taught the women about fasting, the power of prayer and penance, as well as studying Holy Scripture and the will of God that they could teach and preach, along with their vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. They would be clothed in a distinctive black and white habit, and Dominic would refer to the strange light as a sign from God. And surely it was. Dominic and an assistant would build just a simple hut on the convent grounds that would barely shelter both Dominic and his aide from rain and weather and all of the elements. The convent would prosper as Dominic would travel barefoot over hill and dale throughout the area, teaching the truth as the Albigenses became more ruthless and lawless, defying even the government as they sought to spread their heresy and eventually even resorted to murder and thievery to reach their ends. But Dominic's response was kindness, love, and the truth, and to lead by example. Oh, many times his very life was threatened, and he would quietly smile at his enemies, telling them that they would do him a great honor if they made him a martyr. And then they would leave. He saved many souls and wept bitter tears for those whom he could not help. His words were powerful with understandable logic, which the Albigensians understood but refused to accept. He spent the days saving souls and tending to those in need, while his nights were devoted to prayer, asking for divine guidance. He sought the Mother of God, and she answered his prayers. In the woods, he knelt, begging God for forgiveness for not saving more, and asking in his prayers to learn what more he could do. Tradition tells us that God sent a very special messenger. The Queen of Heaven appeared to him and said, "Prayer and penance are the only way to save souls. Pray the Psalter and teach it to your people. The prayer will never fail." In earlier days, even with the hermits in the desert, they had 150 psalms. They had knotted ropes with special prayers, and before the birth of Christ, certain prayers were counted and prayed to God. Dominic was puzzled by what the beautiful lady was saying. It was something new. It was like roses being offered to God, or as they could say, rosarium, or perhaps, as we know it, the rosary. She told Dominic that with the rosary, he must make it very clear that it covers the mysteries of his religion, his life, with the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious events that covered the life of her son, and to picture in their minds as they were praying what was taking place during their prayers on each bead or knotted part of the string, starting with the glorious salutation of the angel Gabriel at the conception of Jesus, when she was greeted with "Hail, full of grace," and followed by Elizabeth's greeting, "Blessed art thou among women." She suggested during the prayers, for example, he mentally walk with her and Joseph as they carried the baby to the presentation, finding him in the temple, and so on, all the way to the cross on Calvary, as God prepared her to be, in effect, the mother of all mankind. No one knows exactly what she said, but her desire was fulfilled down through the ages to this very day. Dominic's words became even more powerful now, and what he spoke, where once a handful had listened, now thousands were listening, thinking about his words, going to confession and returning to the faith, because of the words and the power of the barefooted preacher speaking in tattered clothes. The words of the rosary were bringing literally thousands to hear Dominic preach, and then the confessionals were crowded as people were returning to the faith. The Earl of Montfort took charge of an army of 3,000 men to fight for the Pope and the Church. Unfortunately, they were untrained, and the Albigensian army numbered 42,000. Brother Dominic blessed the soldiers as they left for battle, outnumbered 14-1. While the battle raged, Dominic prayed the rosary, and with Our Lady on his side, the Earl of Montfort and men were miraculously victorious. Don't challenge the power of prayer and the rosary. Popes down through the years have urged the faithful to pray the rosary because of its power, and in the last century during the apparitions at Fatima, Our Lady gave us a message through the children. She said, "Pray the rosary every day." Have we listened, or have we learned? The wonders are being worked by Brother Dominic and Our Lady were being recognized in country after country, and on at least several occasions Dominic was recommended to become a bishop, and in each case he refused in order to accomplish what he felt God was calling him to do. And more men were anxious to serve at the site of Brother Dominic, and so the Bishop of Toulouse also offered him a home for followers who would become preachers to spread the word of God and devotions to the rosary, among other activities. So as men and women would join the new monasteries, Dominic's highest priority was books to provide the knowledge to effectively preach the word of God. He would say, "To teach the truth and beauty of the Catholic religion, you must know it, live it, and love it." On one occasion, a brilliant professor came to teach Brother Dominic and six other men, and as he entered the room, he turned pale, and when asked if he was all right, he said, "Last night I had a dream in which I saw seven stars, dim at first, but growing in brightness until they illuminated the entire world. As I walked into this room, though I have never seen any of you before, each one of you were those stars in my dream." Not too much later, Dominic's bishop took him to Rome, where they met with Pope Innocent III, and Dominic was invited to participate in a papal conference of the Church's hierarchy. It was then that Dominic asked the Holy Father to let his group become a recognized religious order, and the Pope agreed. But at the same council, it was decreed that no new order should be established at that time. But Dominic would not give up hope, and strange occurrences began. Unfortunately, I have only time for one. Dominic was anxious and eager to hear the Pope's decision. They met, and the Pope said, "Last night, I dreamed that the Basilica of St. John Lateran began to shake on its foundation. The building was shaking. The Cathedral of Rome was about to fall. In another moment, it would have fallen, but it was saved by one man. He appeared and with his own shoulder braced the shaking church. His strength was so great that he alone kept the church upright." Dominic was impressed and replied, "It was a strange dream, but who was that man?" The Pope answered, "You were that strong man. I do believe that God has chosen this way to let me know that I should give you permission for your work. I believe he wants you to form your order of preachers for the good they will do his church." The dream had convinced him. And today, because of the efforts of one unassuming man with faith in God, we have one of the world's great organizations, most familiarly known as the Dominicans. Time has only allowed me a tiny fragment of what Father Dominic experienced in his life, of what one man of God can accomplish. So, when you pray the rosary, for a moment, pause and remember St. Dominic and offer a prayer for the Dominicans who continue putting God first. This is Tom Shrewsbury with Reflections for the Covenant Network.